In this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, I'm joined again by Louise and Sam. But as per our last episode, you have four additional anointed, gifted voices from my staff team here who are going to take you by the hand and lead you into lifestyles of revelation. Join us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and welcome to another action-packed episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. We are in our Glasgow studio, so big hugs and love to you around the world from Scotland. I am joined by the effervescent brilliance that is...
Sam Robertson.
And
Louise Reed.
Thank you, guys.
I'm laughing because you would have to jump in straight after
Absolutely.
The as ever compliment.
Brilliance. Yeah. The joy that is
Sam Robertson.
If I don't introduce you with the phrase "the joy that is," people get upset. You do know that,
really?
Yeah, they see it as like a preface to my name.
Yeah, the joy that is Sam Robertson.
Yeah, it's on my passport now.
By deed poll, you're changing.
The joy that is. Now, as you remember from our previous episode that dropped last week, we had gathered our staff team together for pakora and lunch, and to pick their collective wise brains on top tips about revelation. It was so rich, the four who were on with me last week for last episode. We are keeping on that glorious theme, and I am joined by another two. And if you're watching, you can only get the visuals, I think, on PAR TV.app, which is now live. So if you've not downloaded PAR TV.app, you are missing the visuals and you only have the audio. So if you want to see what these staff members look like, you're going to have to download that so that you can put names and faces together. Now, boy oh boy, we have heavyweights in front of me right now. Skinny in the natural, weighty in the spirit. So we're clear.
We clarified.
Gifted communicators and both prophets. So I have Anna McRobert, who is actually Sam's auntie.
She is, yes.
Relative. But so much more.
Absolutely.
That's not the be all and end all. She's a preacher, communicator, events organizer, and if you've watched PAR Church, you will have seen her preach. And give us a sense of your accent. Tell us a bit about you.
Yeah, so I am the Welsh portion of GPA.
You are.
And often the only Welsh person in a room in the events that we hold.
Isn't that weird that you're often the only Welsh one?
Yes, it does seem to be that way.
Yeah.
We need to do some trips
to Wales.
And we've worked with each other for how long, Anna?
11 years.
Whoa, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the best years of our lives.
Absolutely.
Sorry, does that seem a bit over the top? I feel like it is.
With weeping.
The most scariest.
Yeah, best and wildest.
And we all now need to raise a hallelujah because it's my assistant, Suzanne.
Hi.
And where are you from, Suzanne?
The Netherlands.
You are.
Woohoo! Yay. She has organized my world within an inch of its life. She has bribed me with chai lattes to be compliant.
Yes, it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. And of course, you were a teacher before you came here, and another history scholar and leader within the prophetic within your own nation. And here you are, sorting me out and prophesying brilliantly as you do.
Absolutely.
And she's very entertaining.
She is very entertaining.
To everybody's surprise, I am. Yeah.
Well, I think what we're impressed with is that you're funny in a language that's not your first language.
You should hear me in Dutch, though.
Are you particularly...
I'm very funny in Dutch. Yeah.
You're very hilarious.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
You're hilarious in English too. Okay, so anything else, Sam, Louise, that you want to say about Anna and Suzanne before I put the questions to them?
Oh, gosh. Diversity again. I mean, isn't it brilliant to have the nations in the room? We've got Wales, come on, in the room. And Anna is multi-talented, and she's also got a glorious pastoral side to her as well, which works really well in this organization.
Can I tell it? If I ever I'm having an emotional moment or something significant is happening. The person who texts me the most literally emotionally is always Anna.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. See? Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. caring.
And yeah, always.
Suzanne is amazing. She is an incredible yeah. woman. And the other thing is Suzanne has a whole area on dreams and dream interpretation. She spends her life dreaming and interpreting. So extraordinary to have around.
Right.
We love that.
Now that we've built you up, yeah. very honestly, we now need to hear your collective
voice.
She's
a state footballer. Sorry, just yeah. add that in as well.
Okay. Right.
That's important.
Anna, I'm going to start with you. You've been with us for a long number of years. We've done family life together. What are your top tips for those who are diving into the oceans of the voice of God and revelation, or your best learns personally, which you can go whichever way you want, but regale us with your insight.
Yeah, maybe a bit of both. Yeah. I think when you hit on the pastoral side of things, I think the biggest learn for me is that I get to hear and I get to speak the heart of God.
Yeah.
And I think coming into your company and watching you prophesy and minister and do deliverance, what catches me is the heart that you have to speak into people's lives or to set that land free or to speak truth over a nation.
Yes.
Because you know the value of God's heart and you have that fierce passion to communicate his heart and to share his heart.
And that wakes something up in you because you feel things deeply.
Yes, and God trusts me with his heart for that person or that nation and that I can speak his heart. That's even remarkable. Saying that out loud, that is awesome.
Yeah,
and that is what prophecy can be, is the heart of God.
I mean, I think we need to sit in this because this is so helpful, Anna, that we're not just looking for the word of God, but you as a prophet, shepherd, shepherd, prophet, which is an unusual combination, to be fair, and you also teach on the side, but it's the sense that you are fully free to feel what God feels, not just be an ear, but a heart that communicates.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And is that your favorite part of Revelation?
I think it just brings weight to, for those that are jumping in new to this, that not to underestimate simple words or simple feelings that you would instantly dismiss because they maybe resonate with something that you feel or are your thoughts and you just go, oh, that can't possibly be God. But actually it is. And when we communicate that, who are we to dismiss something that could be so powerful in somebody else's life just because...
Yes. You're pushing us, Anna, into a broader spectrum of who God is. And in some senses, in prophecy, there is a sense of I must sanitize God into this sterile, emotionally deficient being in the sky who I've sanitized so he doesn't look too extreme in his emotional status. But what you're opening up here is I can feel as he feels, and it actually might look a bit extreme, a bit weepy, maybe joyous.
Mm-hmm. Or strange, or you just don't know. Yeah. You can go, I can't say that out loud because it sounds weird. Mm-hmm. Or, and I think what has helped me is I've often panicked or I've often, as Erin has shared, been overwhelmed because I don't sound like you. There's often people who are listening that go, I can never prophesy like Emma, or I'll never prophesy like Louise or Sam. But actually, when you realize I carry the heart of God and it sounds like me, the way he's created me, the freedom and liberation in that sound like God in me and through me helps me then to share with that person.
And the fascinating thing of what you're pushing us into here, Anna, is the sense that God did not make us wrong. He made you to be you and he made me to be me. And actually, I think he gives different sorts of words to different sorts of personalities. Because I can't bring what you bring and you can't bring what I bring and neither should we. Yeah. But the complementing of the nature and the aspect of God, because not one person can be fully, you know, reflecting all that God has.
One of my earliest memories was in deliverance and you had gone in and you had freed this young girl and she was weeping in her freedom. And you called me out of all the staff to come and sit with her and hold her. Mm. So in that moment, you didn't need more words or more you just needed Anna the prophet to come and just pray and speak gentle words and hold her in that moment.
Yeah.
So working together with the same heart.
Yes, and the values of the kingdom, which we talked a lot about in this podcast, but becoming the heart of God and feeling liberated in your emotions. So we're really talking here about emotions are not a sin and emotions are not a problem. And emotions are a response often to either what God is doing or a reflection of how God is feeling. And you're quite comfortable in all of that spectrum.
Yes. And I think it's something we grow in confidence with, which we've touched before, is that being secure and confident in what you carry and what you bring to the table and that we all work together as a team.
In that.
And that's the wonderful thing about what we have here, is that we all bring a part to the ministry.
Absolutely. Wow, wow, wow. And a lot of people listening to this, as I look straight down the camera, you are going, whoo. It's okay for me to feel like this, and as Anna has given you permission. Do you guys?
Well, I just love what Anna's saying because it is so important. And I hope that our listeners can just get a hold. Again, I'm using the word diversity, that all is important. And we need the rhythm of the drums and previously that Dee was talking about. You know, we need, Emma, your type of prophecy. We need what Sam brings, but we need what everybody brings. Yeah. And the fullness of, I mean, I'm thinking about, the manifold wisdom of God, the multivariegated, you know, so deeply layered, and here we are, and it is so beautiful being presented. Why are you laughing at me?
I just appreciated the use of language.
You said multivariegated.
Yeah.
So we just
did you like that one?
We were appreciating it.
Would you like me to spell it?
No.
We both stored it in our heads to use for a future preach.
Okay.
Multivariegated.
Yeah. Is that not where you get leaves that are wiggling?
And that's what manifold means.
Yes. Many faceted.
Many faceted.
The variegated God.
But that's what we're talking, because prophecy is the wisdom of God revealed.
Yes. Yeah.
So here we are experiencing it, and we haven't even got to Suzanne.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. I know.
I know we could just dine out on what Anna said. Suzanne.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Come on, my Dutch friend.
I feel so comforted.
Yes. And Suzanne, no, you notice that Suzanne's surname has given me problems because of my dyslexia, and there's just too many letters in it.
Yeah.
Suzanne Van Capellevane.
Oh my goodness, that's so good.
Did I get it right?
Look at the shock.
On recording. Yeah.
Never get it wrong again.
Yeah. Don't pass out, Suzanne. Yeah. Okay, bring us your top tips, my friend.
Well, the thing that was the most freeing thought for me ever was that God is a God of judgment and justice.
Ooh. Oh, Suzanne.
That's bringing it, you know? Yeah, because it means that sometimes you just give the devil too much credit.
Yeah.
And you're like battling something, or I'm going through something, and you're like, oh, I need to warfare, I need to fight the enemy. And sometimes you do. But that God tests you, puts you through fire.
Yes.
And that, you know, sometimes you're just walking out a sin or walking out your own foolishness is just very helpful for me, because it just shows that God still judges, and he's still like, he's all about righteousness, and he wants to have he avenges you, and he looks at the poor, and he's all in that. He's not just like a man up in the sky with a long beard, and that's what I first thought. It was all about, you know, the gospel of salvation. One day I'll get to heaven and then it all starts. But it's very active right here, right now in my life. And I've been a Christian for 4 years now. And by the grace of God, I've encountered GPA from the beginning. So I learned God very, like, how he is in that way, because you guys talk about that all the time.
We do. Mm-hmm.
So just a really mindset and a shift of, he really is like into the small things in my life as well. And he puts me through fire and hard times to test me and to help me and to get me, you know, in a better state and more like him.
And so the whole concept then of the prophets who walk out when they sin, we walk out consequences. Mm-hmm. And although we live in the mercy and the kindness of God, God teaches us, like we do with our own children, he teaches us why we got to own the consequences of our actions. And when you're talking, Suzanne, about that being one of the greatest, like, aha moments of God wants me righteous and pure. Yeah. He wants me holy. He doesn't want me sloppy. He doesn't want me idolatrous. Mm-hmm. And that actually, if I am in step with him, to be in step with him means I'm often uncomfortable. To be in step with God, if Dee's drumming over me, you know, our drummer from the previous episode, if I'm in step and in sync with God, I'm sometimes excruciatingly uncomfortable. I'm sometimes being faced the consequences of my sin, even though he's merciful. I'm sometimes being tried into the very minutiae of my life so that I can better reflect his son.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
you're pushing something that is an anti-comfort message.
Yes, and sometimes I love it, sometimes I don't love it. When I became a Christian, I was in a depression, and for a year and a half, I was tired. And I was always like, God, you can just do this and take it all away from me. But every time I was like, no, I'm not going to do that, because you need to feel, you need to go through this to learn so many more things of me. And once I got here, I wasn't that tired anymore. So I asked again, why was I so tired? Because I did everything I could. He said, if I would give you your strength back, you would not go to me all the time.
Oh, wow. Oh, Suzanne, yeah. What a lesson.
Yeah, I would just do my own stuff again, my own life again. But I had to come to him every time I got home from work. Go to him because I was so tired, and talking to him about it,
yeah,
and learning so many things about him in my fatigueness.
Mm.
How interesting. Yeah. And so the journey to steward revelation,
yeah,
is not just a journey of tap dancing and, you know, up-tempo waltzing around in some kind of ethereal cloud in the sky. The journey to be a stewarder of revelation is the journey of great uncomfortableness and forced into dependency on God.
Yeah, all the time, all the time, because I can't prophesy anything if it's not from him. So I need to be so intimate and close with him that, and I don't want anything else. Yeah. I just want his voice, and I want to be as pure as possible to say what he wants to say.
So can you measure better revelation because of some of the depths of consequences and heartache that he led you through?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Like, even when he takes me through hard times, how can I prophesy over someone, hey, you're going through a hard time, but God is pushing you into something greater or better, if I haven't, if I don't understand that concept?
Yeah.
I think that really matters.
It does matter.
I find that sometimes the more heartache David and I go through in our leadership, and the sense of like, that didn't work out, or that building didn't come through, or, you know, that didn't, you know, and we hold hands together as a happily married couple, and we're facing together whatever, you know, is thrown at us. We are better every single day of the week in terms of our understanding of the God who is tested in every way, who is sympathetic with our sufferings, which is written in scripture about the person of Christ. He's not unfamiliar with our sufferings. Mm-hmm. He's not unfamiliar with our testings. But I find in all of that, just a more mature version of prophecy comes out of me.
Absolutely.
And that you don't despise the burning fire, and you learn to fling open your arms. That there are some things you go, I wanted that to work out and it did not. And I look like an idiot and I feel like a fool. And what am I missing? And why does it hurt like this? And God says, well, you need to be familiar with who I am and how I move and what my people are going through. And I need you sharper. So I need you more in pain on occasions.
Yeah, all the time. Like, I'm now going through a financial testing season, and I am grateful because we're talking about not partnering with church and empire.
Mm.
So, yes, you know, it'll burn it out of me. I don't want to go in that direction where I can think I can build an empire and get the finances through church. Mm. Just burn it out of me. And I'll be happy just, you know, bread and some water on a daily basis. It's fine for me. It's not that bad, though. I'm exaggerating a bit. I'm with the prophets. I can dramatize, right?
Yeah.
I'll get you more pecora from down the road.
Yeah, please. Okay, no. No, but yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's things where you think this doesn't match up on paper, but God.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
all go through it.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to comment on that?
Yeah, and I think the proving yourself and God proving you to carry more authority mm. and to trust you. And I think we have to have such a wider view of the story of our lives. And sometimes we can be so self-focused. Oh, poor me, I'm going through this little, you know, this little consequence, this little trial, this little hardship. And we miss the journey of, but actually at the end of it, I will be trusted by God yes. to do this. Or actually by the end of this trial, whether it's financial or relational or it's mm-hmm. just testing what you've built, there's a sense of God, if this is what you're putting me through, there must be something that I'm going to hold at the other mm-hmm. end, that you're proving me that you can trust me with this, that actually it's only if I go through these processes that you will then allow me to come into another level of fullness. And I do think there was a sense of, I loved when you were talking about judgment, and it's such a, who thought that would be the first thing out of yeah. your mouth? You know, what have you learned? Judgment. But there was not a sense of the kind of tyrannical sense yeah. of judgment. There was kindness in it, yeah. that even that God judges his enemies, that God judges what resists him, because righteousness matters, his kingdom matters, mm-hmm. and it's always unto something. It's justice unto something. It's judgment unto something, mm-hmm. not just for the sake of it. And in kind of learning to hear the voice of God, I think it is not just this is my prophetic portion of my life over here, and I do prophecy over here, you know, at this time, but it's so woven into everything that you do, every journey, every process, you are getting offered the opportunity to come closer into intimacy with God, which then makes you a better prophetic voice.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Suzanne. And I'm sure that our listeners are now as in love with you as we are. So do not move a muscle. We are doing a transition. Anna and Suzanne are exiting stage front. I think that's sort of right.
That's the left.
And is that the left?
I think
stage ahead.
Stage ahead.
Stage ahead.
Clearly, we can't remember. And look, listeners who are all, you see, now anybody who's not downloaded PAR TV mm-hmm. dot app, have I got it right? I've got the thumbs up from our broadcast manager. PAR TV dot app are jealous because they cannot see what is in front of me right now, but you are about to hear their voices. So, Louise, do you want to introduce this pair?
Oh, with pleasure. First of all, to my right, I have no idea whether it's anybody's left or right or whatever. This is the wonderful Ali McFarlane. Ali leads the worship here at GPA, is a remarkable person with incredible gifts, some of which we can tell you about and some of which we can't. But Ali is incredibly entertaining, an amazing singer and dancer. And prophet,
yeah.
And also an inner healer, and with a special soft side to her, where you really connect beautifully with people, which I just think is fantastic.
To the point where I've actually sent some of my family to her for deeper healing because she's that good.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
So that's Ali.
Trained by the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we have the lovely Lisa Hansen. I mean, Ali, where are you from?
Dumfries in Scotland.
I'll just translate that for everybody. That was Dumfries in Scotland.
<That's> so cheeky.
The borders.
Honestly. Yeah, the borders.
The borders.
The borders.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
And Lisa, where are you coming in from?
Ontario, Canada.
There you go. Lisa is glorious. Can I just say, I have the absolute pleasure of having Lisa working with me intimately and every day, and is glorious because she's just a fantastic, as you'd say, a fantastic human being.
She is a fantastic human yeah. being.
And Lisa is the queen of colour and incredibly creative. And look at her. See again, PAR TV app. That's another app.
You have to get onto it. Yeah. But Lisa, I first met you in
Denmark.
In Denmark. Yeah. Sorry, I then had Deutschland or
it was Denmark.
And you and your husband, it was quite a tough conference. This is mm-hmm. some years ago. And and you were the people who came to speak to, you know, the English speakers. and just the cheerleaders there, and you were so excited that there were prophets in Denmark. I think we were near the Lego factory, the headquarters of Lego worldwide.
Somewhat, yeah. I think, wasn't it in Kolding, Denmark, your first visit there?
But you were not. You're asking me. I thought I was near the Lego headquarters.
You were. You probably flew there to Billund, Denmark. Yes. So, okay.
And then drove.
So, yeah.
And then collided our lives, mm-hmm. and you organize. And you do all our email. If anybody ever emails in, Lisa is the champion that you tend to get. Mm-hmm. Yes, excellent. But prophets, both of you prophets again. I think we only sort of employ prophets.
Is that an accident or on purpose?
No, I think that, that's on purpose. It's not like I'm going around talking, I find a non-prophet. Surely the more prophets together in a room, the better.
Surely.
Yeah, what do you call a company of prophets?
A drama of prophets.
A drama, okay.
That's a good one.
A flamboyance. Yes.
That's good as well. Yeah, a dramatic flamboyance of prophets.
Yeah, yeah. Let's add more words in because we love words. Why not? Yeah, I think it's a flamboyance.
Manifold wisdom.
It's a flamboyance of flamingos.
It's a flamboyance of flamingos. Yeah,
yes. Dramatic flamboyance of prophets.
Right. Okay. We need to pick your brains because they have considerable prophetic insight. And so how many years have I known you, Ali McFarlane?
I think just over a decade.
Is it good? Mm-hmm. I do remember coming and prophesying over you when you were in another church in the Borders.
You gave me some interesting ones.
Oh, no.
No.
Remember, we all knew when she was pregnant, they hadn't announced it. They'd only just found out that morning.
I found out the day before.
You were so evidently pregnant in the spirit.
And we all knew.
It was in the natural as well.
And here's the story. I literally thought I'd ruined my life. I was like, what have I done? Like, this is a nightmare.
Because you just found out you were pregnant the day before.
Literally the day before.
Because you know when a prophet looks at you and you can see two heartbeats in the spirit in the one physical frame? You
know, well, now I know.
Yes. But so I'm like, oh, she's pregnant.
Yes. Well, what happened then was you said, Ali McFarlane, I'm going to prophesy over you first. Stand up. The Spirit of the Lord says we must talk about motherhood and ministry at the same time. You have not ruined your life.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And literally excellent. One other person in the room knew and went,
I hope that was your husband.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Sorry.
Oh, no, I think, sorry, two other people then. I think he was there.
I can't
was
remember.
He?
Yeah,
There we go.
Yes.
Right, Ali, worship leader, let's start with you. Biggest learn, top tip. I mean, we could do episodes with you about prophetic songwriting, but help the people out who mm-hmm. are coming into the world of Revelation.
Well, I think when I arrived, I was plunged into the reality that wherever there is a prophet, there is also change. And
hallelujah, Jesus.
And in that, I actually thought when I came that I really loved change. I was like, oh, I love the movement. I love the quick turnarounds of things. And immediately I was so uncomfortable and actually in a bit of a moment of crisis. Like, I don't know if I can survive here. And so my learn was that in order to be around the prophets, you have to be well. And if you are...
Well, did you say?
Yes.
Like emotionally well.
Yes. And if you are change averse as a prophet, it's a high sign that you're unwell. And that was my learn. And so I immediately went to my line manager at the time and was like, I can't survive. Like, I don't know what to do here. Da, 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 da. And very wisely, she said, well, when did you take Jesus off of the throne? When did you learn to trust people instead of trusting him?
Oh my days.
And so I was straight on the phone to Louise. Where I basically said, Louise, I need some help. Will you do some inner healing with me?
Before you said another thing, I want to sit in your phrase. You need to give us that phrase again.
If
you're change averse,
as a prophet,
you're not emotionally well.
Yeah, that was my learn.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. That's a selah right there. Louise Reed, talk to us about that. You're change averse as a prophet.
Because prophets are all about change and shift. And so if you're not able to deal with that, it just shows that you're not in a good state and you need some time with somebody, mm-hmm. with the Lord, and with somebody who can help to get to the roots of what the problem is that mm-hmm. is actually preventing you from the fullness of your call.
Yeah. Mm.
How do you navigate that now? Because we do change a lot.
I yeah. love a good restructure.
Yes, so do are. I. But I think somewhere in the depths of me, I...
We'd know.
Yes.
We noticed.
Sorry. Somewhere in the depths of me, I knew that I loved change. Like, I knew like that was the truth. And now what I find is, even though I could still be like, oh, I wonder what the change will be, and there's a little moment of like, ooh, what is it? And it's almost like the fine line between nerves and anxiety, right? Or excitement and anxiety, where wow. you go, what's happening? There's a groundedness in it all the time, even when I get up to that point of, is this anxiety or is this just absolute excitement? There's a groundedness and a real stability in the midst of the change, where I don't feel rocked, I don't feel shifted, I don't feel moved. I feel like I can't wait to know what it is really where it's at. Mm-hmm.
And the sense for me, and I wonder, Lisa, coming to you to unpack this, and actually even Louise, because Lisa from Ontario and Louise from Southern Ireland and myself from Northern Ireland, we don't live in the nation that we were born in. And I find that although we all speak the same English language, and we have three different passports, you know, of citizenship. But the sense for me over the years of, what do I do because I don't live in the nation that birthed me? And I don't always feel comfortable in that, because I miss the banter and the crack of the Northern Irish. Those are good words in Northern Irish.
Crack as in fun.
As in fun. I miss the brutal sense of humour of the Northern Irish, which to most other cultures is just rude. And I miss all of that. And the force of that to find your home in Christ beyond, and your comfort and your familiarity, mm-hmm. and he's your person, he's your rock, he's your center, mm-hmm. he's your place of dependency and security, so that then navigating what he wants done on the earth, aka mm-hmm. change,
yes.
is okay because you're so rooted in him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we will talk wellness because that's kind of what we are, but I think anytime you feel any sense of wobble, you've really come off of Jesus Christ, who is the solid rock that we stand on. And so I think that anytime you feel really strong emotions, any sense of strong movement under your feet, the question is, are you still standing on Christ the rock? And what is this an indication of? Where is my brokenness? Where do I need healing? Yeah.
Very, very good.
Yeah, it's massive.
And the prophets who are supposed to get us into time and direction mm-hmm. and movement and advance and exactly. attack and yeah. all of that.
Mm. And yeah, I do think as well that we prioritize healing as a staff team. It's something that we talk about a lot, but mm-hmm. I don't see this throughout the church. And so I do wonder if the lack of timing in the body of Christ is because there's a lack of attention to wellness, especially on the inside of prophets.
So you can't lead a church into movement because your suggestion is you're all not well.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've all come off the rock of Christ.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. So Lisa, before I come to you for your top tip, do Louise and Lisa, as those who have moved nations, because I do think that matters. I do think you've got to find something of Christ in the movement of nations. You've lived in many nations. In fact, Lisa, you've lived all around the world with your YWAM connections.
I'm just thinking about a time that Eric and I, my husband and I, were in Finland with YWAM, and we had been billeted out to a Finnish pastor's home. And actually, we've spent a lot of our life living in a city called Thunder Bay, Ontario, which has the largest number of Finns outside of Finland. Wow. And I did have a number of friends who were Finnish, and I just thought they were a bit surly, you know, or just always in sort of grouchy moods or whatever, just on the edge of being, wanting to be friendly or not quite sure where they're standing, but very, you know, sort of stoic, I suppose you could say. And I just love them for that. Until I went to Finland, then I realized actually there's a sturdiness and a stalwartness in the Finnish people that makes them that way. Anyway, we were in this Finnish pastor's house, had been there for about 2-3 days, and we thought perhaps he disliked us or perhaps we had offended him somehow because it's very quiet, no conversation starters there. And I have to say we were a little bit insecure, but, you know, we were there because we had things to do. So, and he invited us to his home. Anyways, we were coming down his stairs. He was coming in the door, coming home from work, and he passed us and he stopped and looked at us and he goes, "You carry home with you." That's a lot of words for a Finnish person to say to you. So, but anyway, and so we stopped and looked at him and he goes, "I've just stepped into my own home and I feel more at home standing close to you than I did before." And it was that door opener just to say, yes, wow, we carry, Jesus is our home, and we live in him and he lives in us. And we're grateful to be here in this place. Mm. We're glad that we could bring him home to you. And that was the door opener in this man's own home to have that conversation about what it's like to depend utterly on Jesus for everything, and to for him to be your comfort, to be stability, to be provision, to be coziness, you know, to provide, you know, the tastes and colors and the comforts that you like that he knows is important. But also, you know, to be able to share that with him, that he had revelation of that in his own home. What a breakthrough. And just to say, you know, I had a great love for my Finnish friends coming back, understanding I could just go close to them. They'd feel at home and that would be good for them, you know. So anyway.
Yeah. So the Jesus is hygge. Is that the right way of
saying Danish,
it?
That's
Danish,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Close. Yeah. Close.
Yeah. You said it well. Yeah.
Well,
that's profound, though. It's very profound that we carry home with us.
Yeah.
Because we talk about the Father's love. We talk about intimacy with Jesus. We talk about life in the Spirit. But you've captured that beautifully with we carry home.
Yeah.
Because that is within us. The kingdom of God is within us. And just back to your point about being in different, you know, not being in your own nation. As many of us on the staff, we're not rooted in our own nations. You must have the rock within you.
Yeah.
You must have your feet on the rock. And in working with people to help them into that place, it's not like people are off the rock or on the rock. It's just it's like a lifetime's work to get all of ourselves completely on the rock, in the rock, the rock within and home within. It's a constant movement of coming home so that we can be home for others. And I can tell you, people feel that and sense that off because they know, because they feel the security and the centeredness. And that feels both strong, challenging and comforting all at the same time. And that's something that we have. That's the kingdom of God. That's the king and the rock within. That's carrying home. So I'm going to take that phrase. I think that's a great phrase.
Can I just comment on that? Just as someone who observes, you know, I'm born and raised in Glasgow, always lived in the city. It's where I've been for 28 years. So I've not had that experience. In our company, in our staff, the people I would say carry the most homemaking are those who have had to find Jesus's home in other nations. And Lisa, you know, her homemaking, she's moved, you and Eric have moved around all over the place. And your homemaking, your food, your ability for people to come into your home or you to come into someone else's home and to have hospitality and care and the people that carry that, I think, the most instinctively in terms of a generosity for others, not just something for themselves, are those who have had to find Jesus as their home in a nation that isn't their biological home, that isn't where they're born. And I do think I would love to speak to our viewers, particularly when you see our international family, people have moved all across, that there is a sense that in finding Jesus's home, and that's not just for people who have moved, but in finding Jesus as home, it's not just about your security, it is then an overflow that you might be generous with the Jesus that is home to others, even in practical ways, by Lisa making some of the best food you'll ever eat in your entire life.
She must eat her cornbread.
Yes, I mean, all her food is,
I'm not
like,
gonna lie, the popcorn
10
is really good.
10 out of 10 food, but genuinely you see that overflow from people's lives. And I think that's remarkable about our staff team as well, just watching how each individual does that and offers that to one another.
So Lisa, give us your top tip. We've chatted about other things, mm-hmm. but the thing that strikes you that we must know about the prophetic as we come to it, or mm-hmm. any other thing that you think these mm-hmm. guys listening in mm-hmm. podcast land need to know.
Well, interestingly enough, we're paired together, so I have a very similar thing to bring forth. But it was actually some advice for you from you, Emma, that you gave Eric and I before we came. And I'm not saying that we arrived there before we came. We're on the journey, but it was like, get healed. Desire wholeness, desire freedom, desire, you know, being healed from whatever you've been carrying in your life.
Yes.
And I have to say, you know, it's somewhat of a journey that I'm on at the moment still as well. But it changes the way you hear God and the way you perceive him.
You mean being well does? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think the first thing I would want to say is that God is who he is, period.
Yeah.
And that there's great stability and security in that. He mm-hmm. doesn't change. We, however, need to often. So what I have with that advice ringing in our hearts and not necessarily having arrived fully there before we came here was that encouragement to just press in to know him more and realizing him as you become more whole. As you become more like him, you hear him differently, mm-hmm. you perceive him differently, and you know, you understand who he is more for who he is, not what you've filtered him through with. Mm-hmm. You know, so for myself, I've struggled with different kinds of insecurities and mm-hmm. rejection and just different kinds of things. It changes the way you hear God. Thankfully, Holy Spirit is there, you know, constantly in the ear and in your heart, bringing you back to who he is. And I'm so grateful for that. In a company of prophets, I'm also grateful for the voice of the Lord in that way to sort of bring life and point me back into the right direction at different mm-hmm. times if I've struggled. But God is who he is. And I am now at the place where I desire even more to be more like him, to be free, to be whole. So I get to discover really who he is. And I think that's brought it's bringing a lot of freedom into my own life. But what I would say is desire it, desire to be like him. And it's not a thing of striving. It's a thing of just giving yourself to him. And for me, it's been an issue of maybe building trust or like discovering he is trustworthy. But I could say that he truly is. He really is. And if you dare to submit yourself to him and take those walls or wounds, they could still be wounds, and just lay them before him and choose to trust him, man, he meets you with who he really is. And he's never been a disappointment. He's always been a great joy.
And you're catching my breath in your honesty there and the brilliance of how you're leading all of us on this podcast, Lisa. The brilliance of that sense of, I need the wellness, I need the mind of Christ, pushing Ali sort of, I need to not come off the rock, or Louise thought the rock must take over all that I am, the rock of Jesus Christ, so that I can navigate the winds of change, so that I can navigate the fullness of his voice, mm-hmm. so I'm not prophesying to my agenda, mm-hmm. so that I'm not misleading the people who deserve us to be at our best. Mm-hmm. I'm always motivated by that as I think about leadership. These people who David and I are leading, or these people who are in this church that I'm going to, they deserve mm-hmm. the wholeness and the wellness, as much as I can manage that in my own life, mm-hmm. because God loves them so passionately, and then he loves me passionately enough to want me to not stay as I am.
Yeah. Awesome. And I think you can find the joy in the things that come up in your pain, and the things that God brings forward that you have to work on. Mm-hmm. Initially, if you're full of insecurity, those things seem like they're so big and they're going to take over your life, and you would rather just ignore them. But the further you get into wellness, the more joy is found when those things come up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think like our life's pursuit is, you know, to look like him, to emanate him in our lives. Yeah. And so when those things come up, I think, yes, something else that gets to be gone, that gets to be well, that I might represent him better in the earth. Mm-hmm. And that is a joy. And so,
And then when you think with that destination that I get to, using your phraseology about that I get to represent him in the earth, you can hit some of your issues with a greater aplomb.
Yes.
Oh, really, well, come on, Jesus, deal with this in me. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think all of us can reflect on, you know, our past when we would prophesy and it would sound a certain way. It would have a certain flavor. And then as we journey with him and as we're being made whole and more like him, you might be bringing the same message, because God doesn't change, but it will sound different, even coming through you. You know, for myself, there's in some areas, there's a less of an edge, you know, or like things to be a certain way, you know, but I've become more pliable and I trust him. And so I think that aspect of his character will come through, even though the word, you know, or the, you know, whatever you're bringing is the same. It sounds different. It lands differently because you get to carry it differently. Mm-hmm. And what a joy. What a joy. So,
well, loyal listeners, what a deep and rich time we've had together during this particular episode. So thank you to my staff team, the four who came in, the dynamic duo of Sam and Louise. And make sure that you share this with people who you know need this revelation and information to journey into the deep waters of the voice of God and becoming the voice of God. Remember to download our PowerTV.app so you get to see our faces as much as you get to hear our voices in podcast land. And we will look forward to welcoming you very soon to another episode of What the Prophets Say.
If you've enjoyed this podcast conversation, then you will love our new Power TV app platform. Packed full of exclusive content and it's ad-free, you'll get to watch all the videos of What the Prophets Say. Visit powertv.app to join today.